When the owl asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
That's right, kid. It's time for a little fish talk. We call him the Doc here in Outdoor Journal. His name is Gord Pizer. He is the award-winning columnist and fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine, the only Canadian publication dealing with fishing, hunting, and outdoor activities and fun in coast-to-coast geography, terms, area, whatever you want to call it. If you don't have one available to you right now, then shame on you. You're missing out on all kinds of good stuff. Change that. Go to outdoorcanada.ca and tell them you want it delivered to your house. And if you tell them the doc sent you, I think they'll do something nice for you, I believe. Not sure. Anyways, Gordy, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Ange.
Now, last week, you know, you shared a gut-wrenching story on this very program that caught the audience. You know, you shared a story about you and your buddies. Actually, you went out fishing on Lake of the Woods for a day, and you had the worst fishing day of your life. My God, it was like there's donations being taken around here for you, and there was food banks, and there's all kinds of stuff because you guys only caught 30 walleye that day. My God, that was terrible.
Listen, we got up early in the morning, and we were out until well into the, like, we probably put in 8-10 hours, and they were not, we struggled. We really, really, really struggled. I'm not kidding.
I know, but everybody listening to this right now is shaking their head saying, am I get a grip on reality. That's normal. That's a great day for most of us, for God's sakes. But anyways, no, I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all relative, right? Good and bad days are all relative to what you're used to.
Well, and, it is, but you said Pete was up as well, and it's funny how many other listeners have sent me emails in the last week. And it's universal, it seems like, right across Northern Ontario right now. And I have a buddy, and he calls it Sucktember, and it's because of turnover. It's because, you know, the conditions, it's windy, it's cooling down, and the fish can be anywhere. And what they do, Ange, they scatter, and they don't bunch up. And, you know, it's hard when you see one fish here, and then you might, if you're looking along a shoreline, there's another fish. But they're ones and twos, and you never know when to stop. Do you really stop your boat for when you see one fish?
No, and the answer to that, unless you're fishing for, now there are some situations, and you know, one of them is not far from you, that would be Hawk Lake. And there's a fishery where you do stop on that one blip, because
big walleye.
It's a giant. It's a giant, right?
That's
so you
right.
stop, and nine times out of ten, if you manage to figure it out, you'll catch that fish. But aside from that one, and you know, of course, salmon fishermen do that all the time. Sturgeon fishermen do that all the time. But walleye fishermen, no. If you see one fish, and you know, I believe I've been asked that a million times. Why is it that you guys are always talking about wanting to fish schooled fish as opposed to single fish? And it to me, it's very simple. You know, it's competition. No, if I've got 20 or 30 fish that I'm sitting on top of, my chances are real good that one of them is going to bite, because it's pretty competitive down there. If you've got 40 or 50 buddies all sitting around a buffet with you, you're going to put your hand in every opportunity you get. And that's what
especially,
fish do.
Especially, Ange, if it's the last chicken wing. And that's what our baits are. They're the last chicken wing when there's 25, 30 fish down there. But if there's a single and it's fed recently, it might not bite that chicken wing.
No, not at all. Good. Okay, so what happens? So tell me what happens in your world if you do come upon this situation, which you obviously did last week, where the fish have got lockjaw, and you see them. There's a few of them. It's not a case of just being one fish, but you see a bunch of them down there. You can't get one to bite. What we did,
Ange, and I'll tell you the truth, we cycled through a bunch of different presentations. So we drop-shotted, we had jigs on, we tried minnows, we tried crawlers. And the funny thing was, And I wouldn't have thought this in early September. Water temperature was 64. You know what? They wanted crawlers. We were cutting crawlers in half, putting them on the jigs, and there's no question about it. They wanted a crawler over a live minnow. Even the liveliest minnow going crazy on a drop shot or on a jig, they didn't want it. And
Ange,
if we could answer that one. And the other thing is, you know, in the fall when water gets cool, usually minnows are the ticket, the colder the water. And yeah, it's usually rare that they want a crawler over a minnow in warm water. But it was definitely the case. And then here I am on Facebook yesterday, and Ronnie and Al Lindner down in Minnesota. And I happened to I flew home yesterday from Minneapolis. I gave a speech to the Tri-Cities, or the Twin Cities Walleyes Unlimited, the largest walleye club in the United States. I gave them a walleye presentation on Thursday night. Anyway, Al and Ron had been out, and they were catching them in 4 feet of water. And you say, what in the world are walleyes doing up on the top of reefs in 4 feet of water?
This time of year.
Yes.
Especially, you know. Every year is a learning experience for me, because there's always something that happens, something that I've been doing for years. And all of a sudden, it slaps me in the face and it says, that's not what's going to happen today.
Nope.
And I shake my head and I shake. That's what I love about fishing. I think that's why so many people fish. That's why more people fish than golf and play hockey over the age of 16 in this country. Because it's fishing. It's not catching. And I think that's part of the intrigue. If we were catching fish at will, I don't think as many people would be participating. But
I don't think so either. It's the satisfaction. And, you know, we got it last week. We went and probably an extra hour before we pulled in for shore lunch to make sure we had 5, 6, 7 nice walleyes for dinner when we pulled in for lunch. But it's the satisfaction you get when finally you go, oh, I put it together. It might not be the strongest pattern of the day, but at least now we're catching fish. And then you say, you know, they wanted a gold jig, a 3/8 ounce jig tipped with a crawler instead of a minnow. But I will say this, I had three fellas and myself, so there was four of us. I do know for a fact, I'm positive I should have tried it, but again, there was four of us, so it's hard trolling four people. But if two of us had put down something like a slow death or a spinner rig, and any time you find them spread out like that, then you can cover ground and you can pick those ones and twosies up, because now you're slow trolling. You're pulling either a Lindy rig, or you're pulling a spinner rig or a slow death rig. But hard to do with four people in the boat.
Yeah, no kidding. Gordy, not to get completely off topic, although I am going to draw you off topic for just a moment, but, you know, we very rarely have the opportunity, you and I, to just, you know, throw away the script and spend some time talking. But this week we are in that position, so let's take advantage of it. I got to ask you a couple of things. First of all, recently, and now I'm tapping into probably Gord Peiser, the scientist, as opposed to Gord Peiser, the angler. We've recently been having some issues here. I'm talking issues here in the tournament fields here in Ontario with some incredibly high numbers of fish being killed. This summer was set a new record, and it's not just one tournament, by the way. There's been three documented tournaments that have had the highest kill rate that they've ever seen before in tournament fishing, to the point where, you know, some of them, and one of them in particular, is now looking at a possibility of not boxing any fish at all, and just instant weight and verification and then back in the water. What do you say about that? I know you have fished a tournament or two, but more importantly, you know, you've got your finger on the pulse of these little critters in terms of what they can resist and can't resist. And first, two-part question. Why are we all of a sudden noting that there's more mortality? And secondly, what do you make of this?
Well, it's really, really interesting, Ange, because I actually I got a couple of emails from fellas that fish some of those tournaments I think you're talking about. And one of them was Mark Weir from Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mark had been up fishing on the Lake St. Francis, the St. Lawrence. And he had a really, really interesting question. And, you know, we've touched base with Bruce Tufts, Dr. Yeah. Tufts out of Queen's University. Number one, smallmouth. And I think a lot of them are smallmouth-related tournaments.
Definitely.
The water is clearing so, so much. So now, with the clear water because of zebra mussels and gobies, those fish are going deeper and deeper and deeper. So it's not uncommon now to be catching them out of 30, 35, even 40, 45 feet of water. So you've now got barotrauma problems. That's one issue. But you know what, Ange? Mark had a really good question, and I've been pondering it ever since he asked it. Because of gobies, it's almost like the bass are becoming too fat and not quite fit enough. And if you think about it, they don't have to chase anymore. They don't have to swim anymore. They just go down to the bottom and they're gobbling up gobies. They're becoming super, super fat. I'm betting you're going to see something that's getting close to a 10-pound smallmouth. And you wonder, as they go deeper and deeper into one or two atmospheres of pressure, and they're not quite as fit possibly as they used to be, are they becoming couch potatoes?
Wow. Wow. That's almost profound.
Isn't you know, that something?
You may be onto something there.
And I do believe Bruce Tufts, Bruce is looking at that. But I do believe that's a possibility. Now, on the walleye side of things, walleye are never good in live wells. I don't think you're really talking too much about walleye tournaments, but I've always had a bit of a problem with walleye. When I was with M&R, I co-chaired the Ontario-Minnesota Fisheries Technical Committee, and that was back when they had the PWT World Championship on Rainy. And anyway, they cordoned off a huge bay. And these are the best anglers in the world. These are really good guys who know fish care and know how to handle fish. Anyway, after the tournament, on each of the days, they released the walleyes into this cordoned off area. And they had other fish in there so that they could compare the two. And 24 hours after the weigh-ins, not a single dead walleye. 48 hours after the tournament, not a dead walleye. 3 days, and there's something about that third day post-release, 95-97% of them were dead.
Holy mackerel.
And we don't know why. We do know that walleyes almost go into a state of a heart attack when you put them in the live well. They may look like they're normal to us, visibly looking at them, and they may look like they're really, really fit, but their heart rates are just beating beyond belief, and the stress to a walleye in a live well is not insignificant. But bass, on the other hand, you know, smallmouth and largemouth, they're the perfect fish for tournaments, and they live well properly. Now, the other thing that's really, really interesting, I think because those fish are getting so big, Ange, I know some of the tournaments are going to 4 fish limits. And I think that's really, really positive because you can't put 5 that size any longer into a live well. They're using up the oxygen, even at full bore with the recirculation. 5 really big fish, they're sucking that oxygen up really, really fast out of the live well. So I really applaud the tournaments that are going to 4 fish, not 5 fish limits.
Do you foresee a day where we will not have fish boxed at all during a tournament?
Yeah, I will be honest. I have participated in an international tournament on Lake of the Woods, or a walleye tournament, and the AIM, professional walleye anglers in the United States, they have gone to the catch photo release, so you catch immediately photo and then release. And all of the muskie tournaments, the muskie derbies, they're 100%. Having participated in them, and I know one of the knocks is you don't have fish now to weigh in. Having participated in one, it was every bit as exciting and possibly more exciting than with live fish. And it all depends on the announcer and the stage guys and how you set it up in the drama. But think about it, Ange. No tanks on shore, no volunteers needed, not worrying about aeration tanks, not worrying about release boats. All the fish are released where they're caught. And for me, the better thing is, especially in walleye and muskie events, you don't have to worry about slot limits anymore. If you don't have to worry about one walleye over 18 inches, you can now weigh in, if you will, your five biggest walleyes because you're just photographing and let them go.
And the best part for me, no culling. I hate no that. Culling. I hate that whole process.
And if you talk to the guys, you know that Major League Fishing in the U.S. right now, it has gone to that format. And it is now being shown on the three national television. It's now becoming mainstream on the big television, live. And and all of the guys, the tournament anglers, Aaron Martins, Kevin Van Dam, all the guys, Octafol, they're all saying, this is the best thing we've ever fished in. Every fish counts. We don't have to worry about it. Never turn on the live well.
I think that's the future, man. I do.
And I do
look
too,
forward
Ange.
To that day. It's going to be great. Gordy, thank you very much, buddy. An extended version of Gordy. It's a pleasure, my friend.
It's always fun, Ange.
Gord Peiser, the doc. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. That is it for us. We are out of here, Stephen. Yes, on behalf of the entire Outdoor Journal team, Stephen Labadie, John Winters, Derek Brandale, Jessica Ellis, I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday.